Welcome back to Real Estate and Friends podcast. We are now on our third episode, and we are going to start talking about the power of social media in real estate and how you can get your social media up to speed and help you out with sales. So today we have Jared Tai with us. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Great, great. So we just want to, if you want to give a quick background of yours, and then we're going to go into the listing of the week, which I'm really excited about because I already looked at it and it's beautiful, guys.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So again, thanks for having me on. Love that you guys are doing this podcast. I think there's so much to learn, for professionals. If they actually, share their best practices, and as the saying goes, a rising tide lifts all boats. So kudos to y'all. So yeah, well, just to introduce myself here a little bit. I have been, so I started out in mortgage, back in 2006. I was a mortgage loan officer for over 10 years, moved to real estate a while back, was with one of the big brokerages for 4 years. Started a team, and then I ended up becoming my own broker, and my team moved over with me, and so we operate out of historic downtown McKinney, and I enjoy what I do.
That's awesome. How's the downtown McKinney area? I hear it's blowing up.
It's fun. It's so much fun. My wife and I have lived in McKinney for almost 20 years now, and we've watched the historic district grow from being kind of a relic, a neat place that you drive by and you take a look at and you keep going to being a mainstream area that, a lot of people, want to live. Now, don't get me wrong, 20 years ago, there were awesome people that actually lived out here, but it wasn't mainstream. And now, it's a lot more mainstream to use that term again.
What I love about some of your posts, Jared, is I love old buildings too, is how you like do research on some of the old buildings in McKinney, and tell the story of like the building you're in and other buildings you come across. I just love that.
I appreciate it. I enjoy it. I have a group called McKinney History Club on Facebook, and we will go in and research old buildings. I use newspapers.com, Sanborn maps. We have several different tools, and you'll learn one thing from one site, and then you'll jump over to another, tool, if you will, and you kind of piece things together like a detective. But I'm a big nerd, and I have a lot of fun doing it.
Oh wow. I love history and the story behind each of those buildings. We
Me
have
too.
such little gems all over the DFW area. It's great.
Yep.
So, I want to kind of go into our listing of the week, which I'm going to give you some space to talk about as well, Jared, because I love this listing. It's actually in historic downtown McKinney at 1102 Howell Street. And it's got an amazing size lot. I didn't even know you could get these size lots out there.
Yes, thank you. So I absolutely love this property also. Whenever the sellers had me in to see the house, the date that the house was built on record was in the 1940s. I think it was like 1944. But the first thing I said whenever I walked in that house was, this house has to be older than this. Basically, there was a prominent McKinney businessman named Ward Worthy, and he bought this house in the 40s and he did a major renovation. But I researched it in newspaper articles. I found newspaper articles going all the way back to 1929 with this house. And then I checked Sanborn Maps, which is a really neat resource that has very detailed drawings of streets, structures. I mean, you can even see how big the porch was. I found an image on Sanborn maps from 1920 that had the house, way back then. Well, from Sanborn maps, I was able to find out what the previous street number was. So I plugged that street number back in the newspapers, was able to find out that it was owned by a Civil War veteran, a major in the
That's
Civil
cool.
War. Who actually bought, I think it was 291 acres in the 1870s or 1880s, and they were horse breeders. His wife actually lived on this property, basically in this house. He passed away in 1891, but his widow owned the property until the 1920s. So beautiful house, 1.3 acres. It's a very large home. It also has a large garage. It also has what they call the carriage house, which is basically a studio apartment above a little workshop. And that workshop's got a lot of character in it. So anyway, beautiful home, walking distance from the square, walking distance from the yard. If you've ever been to the yard, it's an awesome restaurant out here, and an amazing piece of history as well.
That's fantastic. I will say that one thing that caught my eye was that sunroom. I got to say, drinking some coffee out there in the morning.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. That'd be my place.
Hey, Jared, what, did the house give you clues for you to think that it was old, or are all the like old sweet, you know, architecture clues covered up?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this house, the lower level is brick and the upper level is wood siding. Mm-hmm. And between that brick, that painted brick, it's an antique style brick, and also the carriage house, it felt older than, you know, 1940s. So evidently there was a major renovation that was done in the 40s. Back then it was still 6 acres. So it went from, they went from owning 291 acres to 6 acres, and then Ward Worthy actually parceled off some of that 6 acres, and the little immediate surrounding area to that house is called the Ward Worthy addition to this day. Huh. So pretty cool, pretty neat stuff. Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that listing.
You might give them the MLS number, make it easy.
Yeah, and you know, to fast forward to today, it's incredibly rare to have the opportunity to own a place on 1.3 acres out here.
No kidding.
You know, you'll see little lots come up for sale, and you'll see an eighth of an acre sell for over $200,000. So, you know, and a lot of the homes, even this size, are on quarter acre lots typically. So we have, you know, what is that? You know, 5 or 6 times the size of a quote unquote normal lot for a house this size. Yeah, so sure. The address is 1102 Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L. And the MLS number, if anyone wants to search it, is 207-75788.
That's a true gem. Like you said, you just don't find lots like that, you know, in today's McKinney. So that's a good find.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect for a family if they have kiddos that need to get some energy out back there in the backyard.
Yeah, I even read old articles of Ward Worthy, who owned the house, would actually let neighborhood kids play baseball and football in that backyard.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty neat. I actually talked to an older gentleman who has memories of doing that as a child. So
really?
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So everyone just grab your little slice of history down in downtown McKinney then. This is a great opportunity.
You can live in McKinney by the square and have lots of land. So you can have it all.
Exactly. And I have been to the yard. It's a great place. So it being walking distance from there would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have the power of social media today. So I'm really excited about this because our whole social media world has been turned upside down the last years, and that's where everybody goes now. So I would love to talk to you about how social media has transformed the real estate industry and how traditional marketing maybe no longer dominates, or at least has shifted over the years into really relying on social media now.
Yeah, absolutely. So the argument that I make to people is, don't look at it as social media marketing anymore. Look at it as just online marketing. You know, every business deal, virtually every business deal starts online. You know, you're going to look up who you're working with. You're going to see what kind of experiences other people have had. You're going to go to their Google page and see if there's any activity in the last 5 years, right? So, you know, it's there was a time when, you know, social media marketing was a niche thing. And now those lines are becoming blurred between, you know, traditional media and, you know, social media. So, you know, that would be my challenge to everyone. Another thing that I've, you know, told other real estate agents is I'll tell them, I'll say, guys, if somebody offered you a TV commercial, you know, for free, would you take them up on it? And they always say yes. And I say, well, you've got a supercomputer in your pocket that has more computing power than NASA did when we first landed on the moon. And why aren't you using that to get in front of, you know, virtually everybody you've ever met and a lot of people you haven't met yet?
Yeah, absolutely. And carrying these bricks around with us, they definitely have a lot of power in them. I see people with them out all the time. Simple pictures, simple videos we can be posting online all the time.
Absolutely.
So Jared, for somebody that may not be a guru or nerd in understanding all this, like what would be a good place for them to start?
Yeah, it's a great question because there's just so many things you can do. It's like, okay, where, you know, where do I start? So the advice that I give is, you know, add people to your sphere. In this case, we're talking about social media. So connect with people. Join groups. You know, groups are a phenomenal way to get in front of people that you're not already connected with. And Facebook actually, for example, prioritizes groups above your what you put on your own page. So, you know, groups are a big thing. So, you know, my advice is just, you know, talk to your people. If that means, you know, trying to think of, okay, what are, you know, the three most interesting things that have, you know, happened to me this week. I was listening to another great podcast. The Tom Ferry podcast is one I'm a big fan of as well. And they were saying that you can go, there's a website, I think it's called Ask the Public. And I think they actually pay a membership, like $10 a month or something like that. But basically they go in and figure out what questions are people asking, in our case, pertaining to real estate. And so basically you're reverse engineering your content. You're saying, okay, what do people want to actually know about? I'm going to talk about that. But, you know, to even make it more simple, you know, if I'm not on social media already and I'm trying to challenge myself to start doing it, you know, I would challenge someone to make 2 videos a week. And, you know, that concept of making a video is intimidating to a lot of people. Whip out your phone and talk, you know, take your phone out, talk for like 60 seconds. You know, everything is, people have short attention spans. You don't want to get on there and, you know, say, hey, everybody, somebody's telling me to get on video. So here I am. You know, they're going to scroll right past that. You know, you want to go right into the question. You know, you want to hit record and say, did you know that Texas homestead exemptions now require you to reapply every 5 years? You know, you want to get right to that point because they're thumbing through their feed. And if you don't get their attention in that first second, you're probably not going to get it at all.
Don't you also think, Jared, that younger people who grew up with this software app access have a stronger, what's the word? Like they're more ready to go than seasoned agents who may not know how to make a video or how to edit it. But these young kids, they come out and I swear that some of the videos look like they're professionally made. I would think that gives those agents a leg up over, well, this is part of what Jess came up with, like the traditional old school marketing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because that's true. There's a demographic, there's an agent kind of in the middle that's, you know, maybe naturally positioned best for, let's say, Facebook. Right. There's people that are older who say, I don't really understand all that. And there's actually a younger generation that is not on Facebook, for example.
Right.
So, you know, I absolutely acknowledge that. But it's just one of those things, you know, you have to do, you know, what it takes to make your business succeed. I'm naturally an introvert. I'm not an extrovert, you know, naturally. However, when I moved, I was with a big bank doing mortgage, as I mentioned, for years. When I left the big bank, I went to a local bank to where I had to actually market myself and find my own, you know, lead sources. And I had an epiphany. There was a time that I, you know, a specific day to where I realized, I said, you know what, if I don't constantly put myself out there, if I don't constantly get in front of people and I fail, it's going to be my own fault, you know? So I think that shift in perception that, hey, this isn't something that I do because I enjoy technology. This isn't something I do because I'm a natural extrovert. This is something I have to do to feed my family. And when you look at it through that lens, I think it gets pretty easy to hit record and talk to people, you know, for a minute or two.
Do you use any special program to like make yours fancier than just push in record?
Yes. So I'll preface by saying that's not the main thing at all. You know, I'll preface by saying that, which you would think it would be. I had, for example, here in downtown McKinney, we have this trolley and it's new and it's actually a bus, but it's made to look like a trolley. And it takes you around from different stopping points, this and that. Well, when it first came out, I went down there and I walked through it and I filmed and I edited and I talked to the guy and I did all this stuff. And I made this video that I thought was awesome. And it didn't perform. It got like, you know, not much traction at all. Well, fast forward a few weeks after that, I was pulling into the square and I was behind the trolley at a stoplight. And there were people getting on and off. And I just, out of boredom, I whip out my phone, I hit record. And I posted that and I said, it's cool to see the trolley getting used. And that silly video went like got a lot of traction, ton of traction, way more than I normally get. So the point I'm making there is that editing is good and it can help you, you know, but a lot of people use that as a crutch. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, I don't know how to edit. I don't know how to do all that. You know, I'm not going to do it at all. And I love pointing out to those people that, hey, your video that's not edited might outperform the one that actually is. So I'm taking the long way around the barn to answer your question. The app that I like is CapCut, which is ironically is owned by TikTok. Both of which apps you cannot download unless you're a special agent spy or something, you know, with special access, but you can't even download that now. So before I was using CapCut, I would actually make reels in Facebook. I would use their software and when somebody says, what in the heck is a reel? You know, it's just a fancy word for an edited video. Yeah. You know, you're, let's say you record yourself talking for a minute. Well, there's buttons you can press in Facebook to automatically add captions. That's pretty neat. You know, if somebody's scrolling through their feed and they're not motivated to turn on their audio, your caption might get their attention. They might see that caption below and say, oh, I want to watch this video.
Yeah.
Next step after that is to add music. You can add music through, you know, these programs. But I like the, you know, editing tool within Facebook. My advice to everyone is just start, you know, just start. My first video that I did with this in mind, with marketing in mind, I was terrified. I was like sweating and I was so nervous and, you know, I just did it. And the more you do it, you know, the easier it gets.
Well, and would you say that for those people that don't want to be on camera, do videos without their face on it and them just talking, does that work for your social media or do people react better whenever you are on camera yourself?
They are both great. They're both great. You know, if you get in front of your people, people like that, you know, it builds trust. They see your body language. There's things that come through that don't come through, you know, in a text, for example. Now on the contrary, that podcast I just mentioned, they were talking about a real estate agent who has a very large following, and she doesn't, her face is not in any of her videos. She does, you know, home tours, walkthroughs of houses. I believe they said she does, you know, local business spotlights. So you okay. can absolutely succeed without getting in front of the camera. And if that's, you know, your objection, if somebody doesn't want to, which is a very real and a very common objection, you know, one thing you could do is, you know, you could film yourself talking for a minute about something, and then you can go and put pictures over, you know, on the screen to where it never actually shows your face, to where you're left with basically a slideshow and you're talking, you know? So I would absolutely say that if, you know, you're listening to this and you don't, you're not ready to, you know, put your face in front of the camera. I was self-conscious about the way I look. and I finally just said, you know what, I'm doing this for my business and I'm going to do it anyway. But absolutely, if you don't want to start, you know, by putting your face out there, make content, you know, make video content with basically footage or even slideshows of, you know, the stuff that you're talking about. And it can absolutely perform very well.
I can tell you that I don't edit anything because I don't really know how and I don't have enough time to learn right now. But the few videos, this is historical too, the few videos that I do, and I'm usually just goofing off.
Right.
You know, one of them was a few weeks ago and I replaced a door handle, you know, myself and like did a quick video saying I was doing it. Enormous response compared to just almost anything else. So just very casual videos, speaking from my experience, always do better than non showing your face video.
Just being yourself.
Yeah. I can't help other people. Hey, Jared, I want to talk to this since you mentioned TikTok. I am wondering what you feel like with a lot of agents who had all their eggs in one basket with TikTok. And I think maybe this has been a rude awakening for them. I know my version of that is when my Facebook page went away because of something, I still to this day don't know why, couldn't get Facebook to help me whatsoever, had to start all over. And I'm thinking maybe these people that were big TikTokers maybe might spread their, you know, social media online, you know, business, not just TikTok.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, TikTok's very unique. My wife is a travel agent and she books multiple clients per week from TikTok.
Really?
So wow.
She's in a, you know, that's an awesome industry to where she can, you know, we're here in Texas, she can get a client in Canada and she can book a trip, you know, down in Costa Rica.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And there are real estate agents that, you know, have phenomenal success on TikTok. So yeah, one of those things, you know, I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to, you know, it sounds like maybe it's going to get bought out by, you know, maybe an American company. You know, you always don't want to put your eggs, you know, all your eggs in one basket. Yeah, I think even if it went away, you know, what would have happened is those agents would have pivoted, you know, over to Instagram, over to, you know, YouTube, which of course they're not the same, you know, but I think they would have pivoted. And I think to your point, Nancy, if we do diversify, you know, before a problem happens, if we do say, okay, yes, TikTok is my main thing or Instagram's my main thing, but we're, you know, cross posting that stuff, you know, then to your point, yes, you might not be as vulnerable to, you know, some kind of a threat, like your platform of choice going away.
Yeah. And how about those people selling their phones for $4,000 that still have TikTok and CapCut on it? I mean,
that's pretty funny. You know, I tried to upgrade my phone and I was unable to, I thought that I'd read somewhere that if you already had it on your phone, you could do some kind of a wire transfer, something that didn't work. Cable transfer, if you will, didn't work. So believe it or not, I returned the phone and I'm going to upgrade once TikTok is available again. So, and I don't even do, you know, a lot on TikTok or anything. I do really enjoy CapCut. I use it pretty frequently. But again, if you're listening to this, don't let editing, you know, intimidate you. Get on, you know, make content, you know, talk to people. And if you decide to figure out editing later, great, but don't let that stop you.
That's a really good point for people that are intimidated by it.
Yeah. So out of all of the platforms, then where do you get the most engagement? Is it through just Facebook or is it Instagram is better? If we were to pick one.
Yeah, it's Facebook for me. So I do a lot in Facebook groups. So Stonebridge Ranch is a gigantic master plan community here in McKinney. It accounts for about 9,500 houses. I actually run the Facebook group for Stonebridge Ranch Neighbors. That's the trolley, if you can hear that.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Speaking of the trolley. But yeah, I run that group. I have a group for people that are relocating here from out of state. I mentioned I have the one for McKinney history. I even have a buy sell group, here in McKinney that has like 80,000 people in there. And I can't attribute, you know, like that group to direct, you know, business. But I tell everyone that marketing brand is a long game. You know, you can't measure the value of somebody seeing your brand, seeing your name frequently. And that's kind of my strategy, is to put value out there, you know, have people see our company, have them see our content, have them recognize our name. And, you know, over time that does turn into business, you know, but at the same time, you have to be strategic. You know, you have to do something with that information. You know, for example, lately I've been more intentional about adding people to my CRM, of getting their email address, you know, finding out, okay, do they own a house now? And then there's, you know, programs we can subscribe them to where they're getting direct information. And it's, so it's not just, oh, that guy on social media, you know, so we actually do have some intention in what we do with that now. So
how much time does that take you to keep, you know, your at least three groups up and, you know, running along with just being a realtor and a broker?
So I have help. You know, that's a big, you know, what was a big breakthrough for me when I realized that, you know, you can find people with common interests and they can help you. So, you know,
tell me where these people are.
So people in similar industries, you know, people who are, you know, in my case, if I have a friend who's a loan officer, you know, they have a common interest to, you know, help with these projects. So yes, you know, it's time consuming. I see, you know, again, let's not even call it social media marketing. Let's call it online marketing. I see that as an incredibly valuable thing. You know, people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. So for me, if I am, you know, half the day plugged in to a platform that is, you know, doing online marketing, that's a good use of my time. You know, do I, you know, would I rather be out and about and, you know, maybe, but, you know, as far as a business, I just see tremendous value. You know, I'll subscribe to all the local, media sources, you know, like these small online magazines that will talk about the new restaurants going in. I subscribe to all that stuff and I have it go into my main inbox, because the moment that it's announced that we're getting a new Chick-fil-A, for example,
yay,
I want to be the one, right? I want to be the one to put that out there in my platforms, because if I'm not the first one, guess what? The second one, if it's my group, I can do it, right? But if it's another group, like, for example, there's a giant group here in McKinney, McKinney Cares is a huge group. And I share a lot of local news in there. And if I'm, you know, the first one to share it, that's the one that stays up. But if I'm seeing it, you know, later that night, you know, somebody else has already shared it. And so anyway, there's a lot of little things like that. But, you know, for me, marketing is incredibly important. You know, there's a lot of people in my industry. It was the same way in mortgage, who thought, you know what, I'm just going to do good at my job and the rest will happen. And I hate to break it to you, but that's not true. Yeah. There are tons of realtors who, if you give them a client, if you, you know, introduce them to a client, they will do well with that client. That client will like them. But there are not that many. There's a much smaller percentage that actually has the desire or has the that's actually out there promoting. You know, so anyway, I just see so much value in that I'm okay, you know, devoting a lot of time to it.
Cool.
So what are some of the more creative ways that you've seen agents do listings? Because I know we're all trying to do different things. And if there's anything that really stands out and those trends, what do we keep our eye on?
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, when you're marketing a home, it's important to put your mindset into thinking about, okay, why does a buyer want this home? You know, because as an agent, you know, you may be in a different neighborhood or a different area or a different price point or a different size home, but really getting to that mindset of, okay, what does the buyer for this home, why are they going to pick this home or what do they like about it? And if you really get into that mindset, you can use that to make creative marketing, you know, about perhaps the surrounding area, you know, how close it is to HEB. You know, you'll get people who will make, you know, content that's humorous and stuff about houses. And I see that work, you know, for some people. So there's a lot of different styles out there. But yeah, getting creative, you know, doing more than just putting it on the MLS and waiting for your phone to ring. Those are the things that really set you apart.
I noticed on the 1102 House Street listing that we spoke of earlier, that you had the floor plan, which is very handy, especially for out of, you know, area buyers, and then the 360 walkthrough. Is that standard on your listings? Because I think those are great tools.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So we do it on any listing where we see it as being, you know, beneficial. There are, you know, some, you know, smaller listings to where it's just kind of more obvious from the photos how the floor plan works.
Yeah.
You know, on any listings where we feel it might be beneficial, my photographer has a special camera that he uses to do that 360, you know, the walkthrough. That's also something that Zillow promotes. You know, there's a lot of agents that don't particularly like Zillow. But clients are on Zillow. So, you know, I'm going to do what's best for my sellers. If the clients are there, I'm going to, you know, in a way embrace that. The floor plans are actually really easy to get. There is a free app called QB Casa, C-U-B-I, and then Casa, to where you know, as an agent, you can just go around and basically scan the room and it'll create a floor plan for you. It's pretty amazing. I have my photographer do that through, I think, believe it or not, he does it through the Zillow. Like he has a special, you know, tool or something to where Zillow, you know, is involved in that. But I will take those floor plans and I'll not only upload them into the, you know, documents for the file, but as you pointed out, Nancy, I put them in as some of the photos.
Yeah.
Because that way, if a consumer is looking at, you know, the house on, let's say, realtor.com, they're going to see those photos versus if they're just uploaded into the documents, right. And the agents are going to be able to see that.
And there's a lot of people that are not, I'm not one of them, that are not good about visualizing, you know, without a floor plan to guide them. So I just think it's just such a great tool. That's a good tip for all agents if they don't already do that. That's a great one for people who just have to like have a visual in front of them, especially, you know, if they're out of state and they can't just walk the property.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about when my wife and I bought our last house. My wife was going through, because there was a period of time that we couldn't see the house. We couldn't actually walk in person. My wife was looking at the listing photos. She was even digging up prior listing photos. And she would say, oh, did you realize, you know, you can't really tell on this photo, but on this photo, you can see that, you know, it has this other space off to the side. So, you know, putting yourself into that mindset, you realize that, yes, for somebody potentially buying a house, you know, a floor plan can be a really neat thing to have.
Well, and somebody like me who doesn't particularly like driving in the DFW traffic these days, right. It would really help me. Like if I was buying a house, it would help me to not have to go see five houses. I could rule in, rule out, you know, the initial yes, I'm interested or no, I'm not, but without having to drive out there.
Right. Absolutely.
So I guess another question after that is the same file that you do for the 360. Is that the type of file that you're also able to upload into a social media post?
No. Great question. So that, you know, that 360 walkthrough, I don't even know what that file type is called. It's Zillow, you know, in the past agents would use Matterport.
Oh yeah.
I don't really see Matterport as much, these days. But Zillow has actually, you know, kind of started that those 3D walkthroughs. So those walkthroughs are not even visible on the MLS. They're visible on Zillow. And again, if, you know, I know that clients are on Zillow. So if the clients are there, I see it as the best for my seller, you know, best thing I can do for my seller to embrace, you know, those kinds of cool features.
Yeah.
And how do you engage with clients through social media? Like, I know you're part of these groups and I know sometimes it can be immeasurable how many people are actually coming from those groups directly to you, but do you utilize direct messaging through Facebook to try to gain a client? How does that type of conversation come about? Do they just stumble upon you, or how does that happen?
Great question. So we use a service, and there's several of them, but the one that we use is called Group Leads, to where when we have people join, for example, the group where people are moving here from other states, we actually ask for their email address. We actually capture that. Group Leads actually has some automated messages that say, hey, you know, thank you for joining the group. You know, let us know if we can help you with any real estate needs. Every group is different. So, for example, the group that I run for Stonebridge Ranch, I'm not very salesy in there because, you know, these are people who already live here. They're people who already, you know, own, you know, in this community. So every group is different. But, you know, to go back to your point, we use that tool Group Leads. We do message people. I will add, you know, if someone expresses interest in our services, I'll add them to the CRM. And if the only contact method that I have for them is, say, Facebook Messenger, mm-hmm. I'll actually copy the link to their profile because I'm, you know, let's say I haven't added them as a friend or something like that. I'll copy the link to their profile. I'll drop that into my CRM. So when I get my reminder, you know, 3 days from now or 3 weeks from now, depending on the situation, to follow up with them, I can just click that little link and it goes to their page, and then I can message them and say, hey, you know, thought about you. Is there anything else I could do to help? I'm not real salesy in my follow-up. You know, I just have this belief that if you stay in front of people and you offer value, you know, that it's going to help in the long run. I never try to put people on the spot, you know, and say, you know, hey, you told me that you were interested. What gives? I never, you know, I never want to make someone uncomfortable like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say you also do an email newsletter, which I do enjoy, by the way.
I'm glad somebody read. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, I do read it. I do enjoy it. I'm just curious, like that's sort of an old school marketing thing. So I think that's a fantastic way. Like we were talking about TikTok, not all your eggs in one basket. there's bound to be people, and I know a few, that are not on social media at all, but they would read an email.
No, I appreciate that. So if you rewound back and looked at me 2-3 years ago, I was good at, you know, social media. They say being good at social media is like being rich on Monopoly money, by the way. But that was the, you know, that was the basket that my eggs were in. And I read a great book called 6 Weeks to Real Estate Success by Dustin Fox. And this guy is so intentional. And his book is all about the details. It's about the little things. Oh. And to your point about email newsletters, I have never been a huge fan of them because a lot of email, or in the past I wasn't, because a lot of emails that I got were just automated. You know, it's that you paid someone to write, you know, just generic stuff for you. So what this guy does, and I copied it because he put it in his book. He basically three, as you know, Nancy, from reading it, you know, he'll pick 3 or 4 topics per week and he'll put those into an email. And, you know, for example, hey, the thing about the homestead, reapply every 5 years. I think that was the top bullet point of my last, or actually the one that's going to go out tomorrow. Spoiler alert. Not that anyone cares about that, but I'm kidding. Sorry. So anyway, he'll pick like 4 topics, you know, so typically my top one will be real estate related. And even that intimidates people, and it intimidated me, but it's so easy. You know, basically just let's say you share a link on social media and you leave a little commentary. This is that easy to say, hey, I learned this week. Here's what I learned. And, you know, typically I'll upload a little graphic or something like that. So I do, you know, I do them every Friday morning. And, you know, they're all little tidbits, you know, I call it tips from Thai Realty Group. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Nancy, you're going to reach people by doing that say you're not connected with on social media. Mm-hmm. And an example, you know, that I give people is, you know, over the course of a career, you know, let's say over multiple decades, you're going to make so many interactions with people. You're going to build rapport. You're going to think, hey, this person would make a great client. They're going to think, hey, this person would make a great realtor. And the great majority of those opportunities just fall off. You know, we talk to them. There's not really an immediate need. We forget about them. They forget about us. And it's gone from there. You know, so the beauty of the email newsletter, and then also I use a service called Homebot, which I'd be happy to chat about. Those are 2 tools to where if you get somebody's information and you get their email address, you have the ability to reach, you know, more and more and more people without increasing your effort level. So you can keep adding people into your database. If they're the type of person that reads newsletters, they're going to read it every week. If they're not, they're going to unsubscribe, and that's fine. You know, for me, that was a scary thing. Oh my gosh, what if I make a newsletter and then people unsubscribe? You know, they will. And it doesn't even mean they don't like you. I had, you know, a person that unsubscribed, and I don't get like a notification when they unsubscribe. I just go into their file and, you know, later on, and I happen to see that, you know, they unsubscribe. I had one recently where they had unsubscribed from the newsletter, which again, is perfectly fine. And they reached out to me like a week after that for a CMA to possibly list her house. So, you know, that's the way to look at it, is to say, hey, if over the, like I have 1500 people in my database now, if a quarter of those people take a look at that newsletter each week, you know, that's a huge value, because this may be somebody that I haven't, you know, talked to, or they haven't talked to me in 3 years, and they're happening to find value in some kind of information that I brought. I'm challenging my wife. I told you she does very well with her travel tips on TikTok. What she's looking to do is to start sending a weekly newsletter. And she might just link, you know, a couple of hers might be the actual video, you know, to where that video is just embedded in an email. But that's huge. because she may have a client that didn't come from TikTok. And if that client is on her email list, they might say, oh, I'm going to go in and subscribe, you know, and follow her on TikTok now. So,
Okay, let's talk about HomeBot.
Okay, I'll try to. So HomeBot is awesome. I learned about it in that same book, 6 Weeks to Real Estate Success by Dustin Fox. So HomeBot, it's kind of similar to Zillow. You know, everybody likes to know what their house is worth. But with HomeBot, you're receiving a letter, or I'm sorry, you're receiving an email that says, hey, Nancy, Jared invests in HomeBot and he has subscribed you, you know, lets you know that, hey, this is a paid service, you know, that they're paying for. And guess what, Nancy, your house, we think it's worth X amount of money. HomeBot knows how much you own your mortgage. Wow. So it'll say, here's your equity report for the month. HomeBot has like an 85% open rate.
Huge. Really?
Wow.
Way, way high open rate.
Wow.
And again, you know, same principle that, you know, all of these people that you over the course of 10, 20, 30 years or more in a career, all of these people that you come across, you know, instead of just being a little blip on your radar that goes back away, you're plugging them into, in my case, two things, my newsletter and HomeBot, to where they can get future value without me doing any more effort than I. Now, I, you know, another thing that I do is I do check in. I do have manual follow-ups. So I have typically every day I have 20 or 30 little tasks. And I don't I don't create them every day, but I'll look at them. I'll think about, you know, my listing client, and it's a reminder, you know, to keep them top of mind. And so I don't create a new task. I'll check in with somebody, and then I'll actually reschedule that same task. So I'm kind of, you know, pushing them along instead of doing a new one every time. But
Do that also manually?
Those are manual. So the client is going to be in my CRM, mm-hmm. and every day I'll go in and look at my tasks, and I have 20 or 30. And, you know, some days I have more time to spend a lot of time on them. I'll be honest, you know, during the holidays, there were a lot of days where I just snoozed them, you know, to where I just pushed them. I didn't even, mm-hmm. you know, work it. So we're in the trust tree, right? I can say that. but yeah, so that's another thing that I'm doing, which is valuable. You know, if you get a hot lead and you need to follow up them tomorrow, that's a direct, you know, option. But to know that, hey, for anybody that I'm not manually following up with, they might see something that I put on social media, or they might see my newsletter, or they might, you know, get a HomeBot report. Those things are incredibly valuable, because not only do they potentially benefit those people that are receiving them, but you're on their radar. So when they're at a dinner and their aunt mentions selling their house, they can say, you know what, I get these emails from this guy. I talked to him like 2 years ago, but from what I'm seeing in the email, he's right in your area, you know? So anyway, there's so much opportunity out there.
That's a great one. I love these tips.
For the HomeBot, is that, I assume that's a service that for our agent listeners out there, you know, you would have to pay for, but it's like having your own secret service agent guy running around, like knows everything about the person's house already. So
yeah.
Do you see a return on that? Is it worth, I'm not sure how much the service is, but is it worth paying a service for that?
It's not that expensive. Lenders will actually sponsor it. In fact, I mean, it's like set up that way to where like it'll say, hey, do you want, you know, so and so to be your sponsor? And so you can go to HomeBot, you know, .com, and I don't know exactly, you know, where you click, but it has the option to see who are local lenders that are already utilizing HomeBot. I know a lender here in McKinney, awesome lender by the name of Lance Wilmore, and he helps his realtors follow up on their databases. So they work together, get the clients in HomeBot, And, you know, the whole concept of HomeBot is they're not like trying to sell you something. They're trying to provide value. They're trying to say, hey, you know, you have a lot of equity. So anyway, it's not that expensive. You can get HomeBot without having a lender sponsor, and it's, I don't know the price offhand, but it was, you know, it's worth its weight in gold. It's not that expensive. So, you know, I'd highly recommend it. And, you know, the only way it's going to work is you have to be playing the long game. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a ton of people out there who want to throw money at, let's say, Zillow. Their phone rings, and before you know it, they've got, you know, a buyer client. They've got you're getting paid next month. These types of practices don't work that way. You know, these are a long game to where you're saying, hey, every day I want to add to my sphere of influence. I don't like that word influence, by the way, but I want to add to my sphere, you know, every day. And I want to talk to those people. I want to get my face. I want to get my name. I want to get some form of value, even if it's small, in front of those people. So if you have that mindset, yes, every person that you talk to, you're going to say, hey, I'm going to add this person into HomeBot. You know, obviously if they own a home. So I got a signed call from someone on one of my listings recently, and it was actually a text. And she said, oh, we live down the street. Didn't tell me your name. Didn't tell me anything. And, I asked her for her email address. You know, you got to provide value. You can't just say, hey, what's your email address? You have to, you know, provide value. So, you know, but I'm pretty strategic now at, you know, if somebody says, hey, send me pictures of such and such. And even though I can text those photos, I'll say, sure, what's your email? Because I want to put that email in the, in the database. So anyway, I got this, signed call via text, if you will, signed text, had the phone number. I plugged that phone number into, you can go to fastpeoplesearch.com and it'll tell you their address. And then you can go over to the appraisal district and you can see who owns that house. So if you get a match, and by the way, if somebody texts you, you don't even have their name, Fast People Search will tell you the name that that account is registered to. So oh, it's a possibility it could be grandma's account or whatever. but it'll tell you at least the name that that number is registered to. So those are the types of things I'm doing. So that person who was just curious about my listing, now they're on HomeBot. Mm-hmm. So now the random listing agent that they texted at such and such time is the one who is on their radar. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm going to outshine their sister who's an amazing realtor. I'm not saying that at all. It's a numbers game. Right. You know, mm-hmm. if you're taking these little, you know, interactions and you're saying, hey, here's an opportunity for a long-term, you know, relationship. If you do that every time, you're going to get business from it.
So I have a question, like, how do you actually use HomeBot? Like, would it be at a listing presentation or like how would you use it?
So it's basically a way to provide value to homeowners. You know, it's similar to Zillow. People go to Zillow to check their home value, but it's giving them, you know, articles on, you know, what are interest rates doing? Do you need a home equity line of credit? Hey, did you know that there's two homes in your neighborhood that sold last month? So these types of things that an agent could do manually. You know, you could do these things manually if you had the time. You know, I've seen that strategy. I've seen people who will literally screenshot Zillow and say, hey, did you know that Zillow thinks your house is worth X amount? And get business from that. HomeBot is a way to where you set it and forget it. you know, you have an interaction with a client. And, you know, to go back to your question, you know, kind of what is the goal of it? You know, the thought is that when that person sells their house, you might be top of mind.
Or when it's not necessarily because they're ready to sell. It's just you would send it to people who would find out what their house is worth, and then maybe they might want to list. Is that how you use it?
Absolutely. And okay. That's the way mm-hmm. it's set up. You know, okay. It says, hey, our goal is to, you know, help people with the dream of home ownership is to help you create wealth. So it's not telling this person, hey, you need to sell. You need to sell with Jared. It's stroking their ego a little bit, just like Zillow does, except it's going to you.
Yeah.
It's coming to you and saying, hey, I know you own 123 Main Street and it's worth X amount of money. You're doing pretty good. And that's basically it. And
right.
People love, I mean, I don't want to understate it. You know, it does more than that, but people like that. People like mm-hmm. saying, oh, hey, here's my monthly, they like seeing, here's my monthly equity report. So it works. It really works.
I can see how that would be of interest to people.
Yeah, it really works.
Okay.
And some people might like that and they may not like the newsletter. Some people might like the newsletter and they might not like that. But the point is that, you know, you're being intentional. You know, right. You're not just saying, hey, I'm going to do this one thing and trust that my phone's going to ring. You're going to say, well, here's an opportunity to do something else. You know, here's somebody that would really enjoy HomeBot. So anyway, you know, and I talk to, you know, newer agents and, you know, they say, what is your plan for a new agent? What would you recommend? And, you know, I really try to strip it down to add people to your database every day and talk to them.
Okay.
You know, and even database, let's substitute that with the word sphere, add people to your sphere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can have people that you're talking to in a Facebook group that are not in your database, you know, but if you're widening that sphere of people who see your name, you know, and not in a spammy way or anything like that, but you want to provide mm-hmm. value. If you're growing that every day and you're talking to those people, whether that's through social media, you know, email newsletters, manual, you know, check-ins. And one point in the manual check-ins is I never let them, unless I just really say, okay, this is not, there's no, this person moved away. I need to leave them alone. you know, unless there's just no opportunity, I always keep a rolling task in there. So if I talk to somebody to say, hey, we're definitely not moving in the next, you know, 6 months. And I'm not that direct. I don't ask them that. But if they tell me that, hey, by the way, we're not going to, you know, there's not going to be any opportunity here for a while. I'm still probably not going to like delete that task. I'm just going to push it back like 6 months or even a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I might say, hey, Susie, you know, thought about you guys today. Hope you're doing great. And that's it. No, yeah. Hey, do you need to buy or sell a house or anything like that? And yeah, I had one guy that moved to like India or something. He's like, I always enjoy your texts. I'm glad to know you. You remember that I exist.
How cool. Okay.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Really cool. So I guess with all of this effort that we put into social media, and you are a part of all of these social media groups, and you do these external apps and programs. You have some people in place to help you out, but how do you manage your time? Because I know every agent is running 100 miles per hour. How do you make the time to make these videos online when it sounds like you have so much going on all the time?
I spend a lot of time in front of a computer. I spend a lot of time, you know, in front of a phone. And I think a lot of that came from my, you know, lending background. That's, you know, how I worked back then. So, but I believe in that. You know, I believe that I can reach more people by, you know, working on a newsletter or by working on a quick video than I can by going out and knocking on doors. And that's nothing against door knocking, especially, you know, if you have a farm, you know, if you have a targeted neighborhood and, you know, you can do, you know, digital content, you can do door knocking, you can do flyers, you can do mailers, do it all. But, you know, I do see a lot of value in, hey, how can I do activities that reach more than one person at a time? I don't work with a lot of buyers directly. I have, my team, handles most of my buyers. I've reached a point to where I do have my team help me with some of our listings also. So I've got, you know, I've got help, and I think that was a big hurdle for me, whenever I first started a team, you know, because none of us want to split up our money, right? Nobody wants to give half of their commission to somebody else. But probably 4 or 5 years ago, my wife took us on a trip to Europe, and we were crazy busy. It was, you know, when we had that COVID, you know, boom, if you will.
Oh, yeah. And
I remember a point where I was like, it was like the beginning of June, and we had a trip planned for the beginning of July. And I remember thinking, how in the world am I going to be in a different country and a different time zone in 30 days? You know, and I'm barely coming up for air now. How, what's that going to look like, you know, in a month? And what I did for that month is I basically brought in agents that were in our office. I was with I was with Keller Williams here in McKinney, and I called it partnering. I would take an agent. I would say, hey, I'm going on vacation in a month. I don't have any business taking on a brand new buyer lead right now. Will you partner with me on this deal? Can we work together on this to where you're kind of the point of contact? I'm available. So anyway, I did that with every new buyer lead that I got that June. And by the time we took our vacation at the end of the month, it was like this massive weight had been lifted off of me, you know, that I was no longer the first point. I wasn't the front line anymore. I wasn't the one getting that call on Saturday morning that said, hey, we want to look at 16 houses today. So that month went so well that I was like, okay, I need to build a team, because that's basically how a team works. So, you know, do you want to do that if you only have a couple buyers? No, you know, work them yourself. But if you're one of those agents who's kind of hitting the ceiling of what you can do on your own, let somebody help you, see how that goes.
That's your calling, to make a team at that point. Is, yes, if you got too much business, it's never a bad thing, but get some help.
Right. And then you'll find that you'll have more time to actually market, you know, and you'll have more time to actually, you know, get more clients to help that team. And you'll find that you do a better job, you know, if you have two people that are, you know, putting their minds together, and, you know, one person's, you know, out in the trenches, and, you know, it works. It really works.
Yeah. Well, so I know we probably want to wrap up soon, but I do want to get to going back to all of the things that we're doing on social media and how it's changed. Is, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see agents do, and what are your pet peeves? Like, what can you not stand? Don't do it, guys.
So I would say that the biggest mistake somebody could make would be just looking at it from their own lens, saying, hey, I'm going to pop on Facebook, ask anyone if they want to buy or sell a house, and pop off. You know, nobody wants to see that. So the right way to do, you know, any platform is to try and think, okay, what do people actually want to see? You know, what's a way that I can create value, that I can give them something that they're going to actually be interested in? And again, that's a long game, you know, because you're not, if you do that, you're not going to get a call the next day that says, hey, I want you to list my house. But if you commit to that over the long term, people are going to get used to seeing you. So that was question number one. Can you tell me question number two again?
your biggest pet peeves, like one of those things that you say, don't do it on social media. It's not working for anybody.
I don't like it when people try to act like they're hot shots. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think it works. You know, to get on there and to glorify, you know, hey, it's 11 o'clock and I'm on the phone and I'm never going to rest, because it's like, you know, a part of being good at your profession is putting together systems, you know, to where you have less emergencies, and, you know, setting boundaries. So I guess I don't like seeing that. I don't like seeing people glorify, you know, just this work mentality to where that's, you know, do you try to create the picture that that's all you ever do, or that, you know, somehow you're a hot shot, you know, because you do, you know, real estate. So I like the more you know, humble approach. So
I agree. I can get on that same page. Well, so I am super excited that we were able to have you on here today. I want to go back and remind everybody of our listing of the week really quick before we sign off. So 1102 Howell Street, Howell spelled H-O-W-E-L-L Street. That's historic downtown McKinney, one of my favorite spots. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So go check it out. Contact Jared, get a showing. And then hopefully this weekend we can get some sales. Y'all let us know your wins because your wins are our wins. And make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, follow Facebook, Instagram, and tune in for next week's podcast. We'll have another listing of the week. So make sure you check out our Facebook page for the episode theme so we can get your listing to talk about on here. So, all right, guys, have a great weekend. Make some sales. Thank you so much, Jared, for tuning in with us today.
Hey, thank you, guys. I'm going to go back and listen to your other two episodes and hundreds
absolutely
to follow from here. So let's do this.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
guys. All right, guys. Bye.